Good morning. To follow up on Ken's prayer, if you are a dad, would you please stand? And I had this here just a moment ago, and of course, I don't have it now. I should have put my finger in it. There we go. Dads, you have a very important role. You have an amazing power and influence that no one else has. Dads, you are the only head of your family. There is no one else that will ever take your place. So I charge to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, two verses, verses 13 and 14. Men, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, more than ever, we need dads. We need godly dads to stand, to act like men, to be men, but to do so in love. We need godly dads to lead our children so that if Jesus should tarry in his return, there'll be a next generation that knows of saving faith and has embraced it. We need men to act like men and to do so in love, so that you disciple well those God has blessed you with. Stand, act like men, do so in love. And may God bless each one of you dads today. And I pray that your power and influence would not come necessarily from your actions or your words, but from the Word of God, that you would stand firm in your faith. I pray that each one of these dads would grow in godly wisdom and discernment so that they may see that manifest in their families. Oh, bless each family that's represented here and the men that are standing before us. May they lead well. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And now for something completely different. Found an article written by a sociologist named Glenn Stoke, dated August 2nd, 2017, entitled, Five Reasons People Don't Listen to Advice. This will be fun, won't it? Quote, do you get frustrated when you try to help friends solve their problems and they don't accept the advice? It may be totally impossible to help people when they are in denial and refuse to listen to reason. I'll explain what I've learned about people who don't want to take advice, and I'll give you five reasons, Stokes says, why they don't, as I figured out from repeated circumstances. Many people, Stokes says, come to me for advice, but when I try to offer positive guidance, I find that two attitudes happen. Attitude one, there are those who accept the advice but do nothing with it. They never follow up, and I've noticed that these people rarely succeed at accomplishing anything. They usually end up making their lives miserable instead. Two, then there are those who consider the advice. They think it through, and however tough it may be, they do something with it. Many with this attitude go beyond my suggestions. I see them improving their lives. So he gives five reasons why people don't take advice. Number one, they don't value their own life or business. Stoke contends that we make time for the things that we actually value. And then, if we value it, we're going to look for ways to improve it. Second, people have a fear of success. The main problem Stoke sees is that people think that their problem is just going to go away, which most of the time, it will not. Quote, hoping for a better tomorrow without doing anything today to correct the problems of today will never bring any change. And then three, they're in denial. Simply put, they deny that there's a problem. Much like I mentioned in the last point, we do not listen to advice, no matter how good it may be, because we deny that we actually need advice. Number four, they don't have a time perspective. In order to accomplish a task, we need to have a clear vision for how long it will take. Without a proper time perspective, there will likely be no plan or no urgency to actually change. The last reason people do not take advice, Stokes says, is that people want approval for doing the wrong things. An acquaintance he knows called him once and asked for help. They were in a huge crisis, and in fact, she had been arrested and was being incarcerated. Stokes says, quote, "As I asked for details so that I could know how to help her, she explained that, well, her boyfriend broke up with her and that she was calling him several times a day, leaving messages, asking for explanation. So he put out a restraining order." She continued. And she not only would do that, but then she would go and visit him with the restraining order in place. So finally, fed up with it, the ex-boyfriend said, "Would you please arrest her for violating the restraining order?" So Stokes responded with one simple question. He said this, quote, "I need to understand something. Do you want me to help you?" I needed to be sure, he says, that she indeed wanted help. She said she did. Therefore, I proceeded to tell her what to do. I said, quote, "Just stop. Stop calling him. Stop thinking about him. Stop going to him. Stop and move on." She was extremely disappointed with me. She was hoping that I would defend her and support her feelings. Instead, she felt like I was attacking her. Listening to advice and following it through. Listening to the Word of God, which we do every Sunday, and seeing it implemented into our lives. Do you see a direct connection? Today we're going to explore in our series in James, listening and doing. We get introduced to this theme today, and again, in common James fashion, we get introduced to it today, and we'll hit this again a few more times. Listening, doing. Do you want to be a listener of the word? Well, the answer to that really is yes, you do. However, James is going to make it abundantly clear, we don't want to be just listeners only. We actually want to do what it says. So turn in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 22. James 1, starting in 22. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, he goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, well, he will be blessed in his doings." Would you pray with me? Father, yes, we want to listen to your word this morning. But I firmly believe that if all we do is listen, we failed to actually please you. So give us not only ears that can hear and a heart that can understand, but a mind that will apply into everyday action so that we can be truly reflecting Christ and making him known. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my refuge. Amen. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Hearers versus doers. Most likely you've heard these verses. Most likely you would even put yourself into the category of doer, right? We don't want to just say, well, yeah, I'm just a hearer only. No one would volunteer that information. But what I'm here to say is I'm not going to evaluate each person individually, but I am here to say that I'm praying that the Spirit of the living God will illuminate to you and to me where we've gotten lazy in applying the Word of God that we hear. We look at today action, being a doer. And the whole point of this message is I want you to not only accept the Word of God, but live it out every day. I am saying that accepting the implanted Word of God, if you accept this, it means that we're going to need to live it out every day. To accept this is to live it out. Being a doer of the Word gets deep into the idea of Christian living and Christian character. James presses us to a logical conclusion, and it's very early in the book already. Don't just read this letter, James is saying. Do it. Live it out. That shows that you've listened to the instruction, but you've actually got the character to make it real in your life. And it's part of our main theme of the series of James. Faith, action. This week we're looking at action, and wisdom must combine into Christian living and character. For us to have proper Christian living, for us to have proper Christian character, we're going to need to be people of action. We're going to need to be more than just people who assimilate information through our ears, but that it's actually manifest through our everyday actions. I find it interesting, as I was studying one of the Trinity professors that was there when I was at Trinity, and a great theologian, D.A. Carson, he says this about this passage, quote, "Knowledge alone is useless. It's even more than useless. For the person who thinks that knowing the Bible makes one godly is self-deceived." Wow. So Dave, are you saying we shouldn't study or we shouldn't listen? Absolutely not. Knowledge alone is useless. Yes, study. Yes, hear. I want you to hear with intent this sermon. Even more, I want you to hear the Word of God with intent. But knowledge alone, listening to it alone, is useless unless it's coupled with action. Now, I find it also very interesting that James does not tell us exactly what we are to do. He doesn't say, okay, this is what you do from the Word, this is what you do from the law. We're to do all of it. I often think, you know, we could turn into great Pharisees if we were only just told, this is what you must do. Because I think people, we have a proclivity to want to be rule followers or list checkers. Okay, so if James said, you're to be doers of the Word and you're supposed to do this, this, and this, we would simply fulfill that, and whether it was devoid of a heart of love or not, we could be proud of ourselves from actually doing it. So I'm glad that James doesn't actually tell me I need to do this, this, and this. Because I believe what the point really is you need to apply the entire Word of God, not just your favorite sections. You need to apply the entire Word of God, not just 1, 2, and 3. We take the whole counsel of God. We study it intently, but then we actually need to fulfill it. So I want to go into 3 points today that go into this idea that accepting the implanted Word means living it out every day. And our first is this: we are called to listen to and study the Word of God intently. We're called to listen to and study the Word of God intently. Some of you may know my father-in-law. He used to own a coin gallery in Colorado Springs. He did that for decades, and he sold it to one of Sherry's brothers a number of years ago. And for nearly 40 years, the Hollenbeck Coin Gallery has stood the test of time. Sherry's brother Tom is the current owner, and Tom and Sherry's dad have served on the board of directors, and both of them even as president of the American Numismatic Association. And Tom has become an expert in counterfeit money. And I find it interesting. He says the best way to know how to spot counterfeit money is to study intently the real thing. Know every letter, know the fonts, know the color of the paper, know the type of metals used, know the printing process, know the layout, know the exact information of the real thing, so that when you spot even the slightest deviation, you know it's a fake. Study the real deal intently. Study the real deal so intently that when there is even the slightest discrepancy, that's fake. That's counterfeit. You know what it looks like. You know what it feels like. You understand that there is a real and true thing that we're going for. And believe me, there is so much process put into the printing of money, whether it's coins or paper, that they try to make it as hard as possible to duplicate. And they come close, don't they? They can fool a lot of people. But if you're an expert in counterfeit money, you're not studying counterfeit money. You're studying the real deal. Now I wonder, we're all called to study the Word of God. We're called to study it actually intently. And James is bringing out this point in this passage. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, forget it once. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, he is describing somebody who is an intent listener. We're called to study intently. We're called to study the real Word of God so that we can point out fake. So much so that if ever there's a teaching that goes contrary to the Scriptures, you and I know it, we can spot it like that. A man who looks intently. A man who looks intently. This is a person who intently and deliberately studies. He uses the illustration of both the Word of God and he uses also the mirror illustration. This person is going to study themselves intently in a mirror. They're not going to forget what they look like. They're going to study intently the Word of God so that they don't forget what it means. This is not a casual listener. This is not somebody who's just saying, oh, you know what? I'm going to go to church on Sunday because I feel like I should probably check something off a list. This is somebody who says, I want to listen intently and I want to do something about it. A man who looks intently is intentional, is deliberate. James chooses some words masterfully. A man who studies his face in the mirror does so intently. The person who listens to the Word of God does so with the same intensity. In the Old Testament, we find a good example of this in the book of Ezra. Ezra is one of the great guys of the Old Testament. Study him sometime. He's the first on the scene of Jerusalem after the captivity in Babylon, and he takes leadership for the rebuilding of the temple. If you want a good book on leadership, if you want a great book on management, read the book of Ezra. This guy was great at it. Fantastic at it. He leads well. But don't miss this profound description of Ezra. For Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his rules and statutes in Israel. Ezra set his heart to study the law. He wanted to know exactly what the real deal says so that as he's building this temple, which God gave very specific instructions on how to build this, he's saying, I want to make sure that it is exactly like what God intended. I want to study this law so well that it is actually manifest in this building. Are you that intent with your study of the Word of God? Are you that intent with your study so that where you say, you know what, I want to study this so well that I actually do it? study the law of the Lord and to do it. But even more, to teach it. You should be living out the word of God. But you should also be teaching it. Men, this is where that challenge again goes to men that are dads. You need to be the spiritual leaders of your home. You are the ones that should be leading in prayer. You are the ones that should be teaching your kids the scriptures. You are the ones that are charged with doing it. And it's never too late. It's never too late. Now, let me say this. Failure to respond to what you've listened to and what you've studied, it cannot be blamed on a lack of understanding. We have so many unbelievable tools in this day and age. It is crazy. There's a website for everything. There's multiple great study Bibles. If you don't have one, get one. They're fantastic. They explain a lot of stuff. There's Bible studies, there's Sunday school, there's the Sunday service that you're in. There's a number of ways that you can grow, and we are without, of all people in the history of the world, we are without excuse. You can't say, you know what, well, I just don't understand. I'd love it if my phone rang off the hook with people that say, you know, Dave, would you please explain this part of the scripture? You know, Dave, I was thinking about this. Would you tell me a little bit more about this? Let's open the Word of God together. Let's study it intently, but with the purpose of doing it. Second point, it's easy to forget what we've learned when we've done nothing with it. Show of hands here. How many people here took music lessons as a kid? Come on. Wow, that's a lot of you. All right, now other than those that are a part of the worship team this morning, how many of you are ready to come up and lead us in worship? No one? Oh, they're pointing at Tori. Oh yeah, that's great, yeah. Point at somebody else, not at yourself. Okay, how many people here were on a sports team when they were younger? Did sporting activities. How many of you are ready right now to go contribute to a World Cup soccer team? How many people of you are ready to compete at the same level that you were at back then? No one? Maybe there's a difference between when we learned an activity and keeping up with it, isn't there? Wouldn't you say that those that took piano lessons or those that took music lessons as a kid, those are great, valuable skills. I highly encourage it as a musician myself. However, once you stop doing it, those skills grow cold way too fast, don't they? Once you stop playing soccer, you realize rather quickly how fast you can get out of shape. Once you stop running, once you stop swimming, once you stop whatever your activity is, you realize how quickly you're not in shape. You know, there may be something said about good training, thorough training, but we need to be reminded of it again and again in the Word of God. Why? So that we can actually do something with it. Now, certainly it's normal to forget things in life. We forget what that house looked like that we grew up in. We forget how to play the piano because, well, we just simply haven't put it into practice. But for the Christian, there should be no such thing as a forgetful person about the Word of God. Maybe that's why the Bible studies are far more popular than outreach. Maybe that's why Sunday morning attendance is far greater than a short-term mission trip. It's easier to listen than it is to do. Paul, challenging the Romans, put it this way. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Hearing, doing, there is a great discrepancy I encourage you, and I believe Paul does, and I believe James does in this section very clearly. Be listeners, yes. You need to know what right and wrong is. But that right and wrong means absolutely nothing unless you apply it. Yes, listen to, read, study intently about the love that God has for you. Oh, does he love you? But he's wanting you to do something with that love. He's desiring for you to do something with that. Because see, here's the deal. When we hear the word of God, when we just hear it only, we're prone to forget it. But when we live it out, it shows that we know it. I want you to think about God, our loving Father, for just a moment. Now, would God listen to you? Would God invite you? Oh, come, my child, share your heart. Would God invite you, come weary and heavy laden? Would God invite you and promise you all of these things and you express them to him and then God do nothing? That would not be who God is. And in fact, that would be against his very character and nature. I've already seen in this series that God will answer every prayer in his time and in his way. God hears the prayer of his people. God hears the cries of the oppressed. Isaiah tells us that God actually does not hear the unrighteous. But Jesus said it plainly, that God is ready to answer your prayers and encourages us to ask and you will receive. God would not listen to you and then do nothing. So why would you? Last point. There is liberty and there is blessing in living out the word of God. We in the United States of America have unprecedented freedom. We still do, America. It is a fantastic place to live. Simply travel around the world and you'll find, yes, we are blessed and we have profound freedom. In fact, I'll bet that no one this morning was concerned whatsoever that you would be persecuted if you came to church. I'll bet no one was concerned for their safety that, you know what, there might be somebody who's violently opposed to Christianity that's going to confront me on my way to church. We have so much liberty, we have so much freedom. James talks about the perfect law, the law of liberty. Far more freedom than we understand because it seems foreign to us in a land that has so much freedom. But the law of liberty is something very important. See, the law of liberty is the sum total of God's revealed truth. The law of liberty is everything that is contained in there. And so, yes, we should study it intently. But we should also be acting it out. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus saw the law as something to be joyfully fulfilled. I see little brother James desiring to see the joy and the freedom of the sum total of God's revealed truth. Since Jesus has fulfilled the law, he is uniquely qualified to establish a new covenant, and he did so in his blood. There's profound freedom for the Christian in the new covenant. We are free from sin. We are able to boldly approach the throne of God. We are adopted sons and daughters. Paul said to the Romans in 8:2, "Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." Freedom, being freed from the constraints of sin and entanglements, we are now ready to serve. We can now be doers of the word. And we can do so with joy and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. See, a doer that acts, it says, James says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. A doer who acts is the one who continually is acting upon the instruction of the Word of God. See, if you look at the force of this verb, it's not a one and done. A doer is one that continually is doing. It's actually assimilating the information, the intent listening that we talked about earlier, and is regularly, constantly looking for ways to live it out, to do it. You can do it. This is not some self-help pep talk. This is the Word of God being proclaimed. You can do it. Be a doer. A doer who acts. It's interesting, there's only two people described in this passage today. The listener and the doer. And only the doer is the one who is blessed. It says, quote, he will be blessed in his doing. The person who is blessed is the one who intently studies the Word of God and does what it says. And he doesn't forget. No wonder the Word of God gets lumped into all kinds of categories of self-help, religious, or in a negative sense, archaic books that people actually have no intent on doing what it says. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." If you have a pen or pencil, circle, underline, highlight, "and does them." It's so easy to just hear. And Jesus makes this profound point at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. You can hear this wonderful sermon that I've just preached to you, but it's meaningless unless you actually do something with it. Jesus preaching the most masterful sermon ever preached, the most amazing content ever. Do research on all kinds of sermons. The pattern of the Sermon on the Mount is amazing. And what Jesus makes the point at the end of it is, you know what? If you just heard me, and you're going to walk away and say, "Man, great message," and do nothing with it, it's like you've built your house on the sand because the wind and the rain is going to come along and it's going to destroy your fragile little house. Oh yes, we're all in for a big storm at some point. I don't know what storm you're in for. Sometimes it's even hard to know what storm I'm in for. But I know this, that if you actually listen to intently the Word of God and you build your house on a solid foundation and do what Jesus is telling us to do, you're going to withstand the storms of life. Being a doer of the Word actually has a reward of, in the storms of life that you will go through, you're going to have a firm foundation. This will be to your benefit. Now, application time. I would love it if we all said, like the Israelites in Exodus 24:3, after all of the law was given, they said, "All of the words of the Lord has spoken, we will do." They said it emphatically. Yes, there is an exclamation point actually in the scriptures. It was something that they emphatically shouted back to Moses. "All of the words the Lord has spoken, we will do." Amen. Now, let me be very clear, though, that this is not a salvation by works. This is not a salvation by works. It's not as if by doing it we're somehow approved by God. But it is the proper response of every Christian that to assimilate information that we have been given and to see it manifest in our daily life. Now let's go back to the woman at the beginning when I was talking about the five reasons why people don't want to listen. She's incarcerated for breaking a very clear communication. Don't contact the ex-boyfriend. She didn't listen. Oh, sure, I'll bet she said she heard the restraining order. I'll bet she's willing. I bet she's willing to admit, yeah, I know what the rules were. Problem was, she had no intent of following them. Worse yet, she felt justified in not listening to the restraining order. She heard, but she didn't really want to change. She heard, but she didn't do anything with it. Here's a very blunt way, if I may, to interpret this passage. Sure, listen to that John Piper sermon online. Sure, do that inductive Bible study. Sure, research that theological topic that you already have a good conviction about. But if you do nothing with it, then you are a hearer only. You've actually not pleased God. To please God is to say, I love the word so much. As David said, I delight in the law. And it's manifest in a life of godly action and love. Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. What a world of difference Christians would make if they would simply take the knowledge that they have received and live it out. Will you do it? Will you, like the charge of Moses, respond, all the words the Lord have spoken, we will do. Will you? Father, give us courage. This is a tough passage. Father, give us courage because it's easy to listen, but it's much harder to actually do. Give us courage because, frankly, it's where the rubber meets the road. I pray, Father, that if we would take away anything from this, it would be that our loving response to you with all the wonderful revelation you've given in your word as a response of love and action back to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.